Kia ora tato katoto, and hello everybody. You're listening to online radio 8taki.ch. Tonight in our program, a special report, 8taki, remote islands between yesterday and tomorrow. A story researched and written in the field by Kim Kessler in the summer of 2008. You can also see pictures at www.8taki.ch. Enjoy now 2 hours of daily life in the Cook Islands, music, interviews and reports. 8taki. Remote islands between yesterday and tomorrow.
Somewhere in the middle of nowhere, the Cook Islands. 15 tiny little islands scattered in the South Pacific in an area of 2 million square k's with 20,000 inhabitants. An area 4 times as big as France, but 4 times less inhabitants than St. Gallen. Rarotonga, the main island of the Cooks, is a 4-hour flight away from New Zealand. And from Rarotonga, it's another 1 hour flight to our island in the South Pacific, our destination.
Aitutaki, my island in paradise, as we stroll under the moonlight on my lovely, beautiful beach, and as the sea softly caress your feet. Welcome to the last heaven on earth, Aitutaki, my island in paradise, and Aitutaki, and this is my home, oh yeah.
Arriving on Aitutaki, together with 20 other guests the plane was able to take with. There is no police or government check. There is a man singing at the open arriving hall, and we recognize quickly that the climate is different. Not only is the temperature higher, Aitutaki is straight up north from Rarotonga, also the atmosphere is different. We meet Tanya Mataiti. She explains her work and shows impressions of the airport.
I work for Air Rarotonga, and it's the only domestic airline in the Cook Islands, and I do check in passengers going out of Aitutaki, and apart from that I make reservations too for passengers that want to fly on Air Rarotonga.
So do you like your work?
I love my work.
And why? What makes it so special?
It's the easiest job I've done, and I've been previously employed in hotels, and that was hard work, so this is the easy job.
And it's good money.
Good money too.
Okay, so can you describe a little bit how it works on the airport when planes are coming, what you're doing in between just a day at the airport?
There are 4 flights a day. That's the normal flight in Aitutaki, 4 flights a day. Before the plane arrives, while we're checking in passengers, the plane calls us what time they arrive here, and that's to prepare us for the landing.
Can you describe a little bit the atmosphere here, because it's a small airport, it's quite different from the big ones?
Well, we've noticed a lot of passengers that get off the flight on Aitutaki, first-time travellers, that they stunned with the scenery, especially the when they fly over Aitutaki, they always say that it's beautiful looking from the plane. The passengers get welcomed by the locals with flower eyes, so it's friendly atmosphere from the locals.
We can only admit, the flight is absolutely beautiful and the reception at the airport lovely. But at the end, we wonder what the airport employees are doing the whole day between these four flights. Tanya Mataiti?
We wait for the next flight, we do nothing.
Now it's time to leave the airport and explore the island with its 2,000 people. 7 k's long, 3 k's wide. And at the end, there isn't too much to do or explore. A few shops with things which are necessary, some guest houses, hotels, few restaurants. Renting a motorbike or pushbike is possible. If you want a pushbike with working brakes, you have to pay some extra dollars. We rent a motorbike and can either pay with New Zealand dollars or Cook Island dollars. They accept both currencies. Today's Friday. That means soccer time. The village Ureya against the village Arutanga. The yellow team against the green team. John Bishop is sitting on the grass between ocean and soccer field, watching the game. While we are waiting for our next match, we have a little chat. John was born in New Zealand, his dad is Aitutakian and his mother from another Cook Island. He is 28 years old and has been staying on Aitutaki since 8 months. First, we wanted to know what he's up to on Aitutaki.
I work for my uncle and just go fishing. And like this week, I went out diving over the reef, man, and that's some scary, it's scary, man. But it was pretty awesome. See stingrays and big fish ball. Massive fish, man. Sometimes I go on the cruise, Bishop's cruise, and I'm just like adapting to the life over here, you know? My life's totally different than New Zealand. I've been in New Zealand all my life, bro.
So what do you prefer, New Zealand or Cook Islands?
Probably over here, bro.
And why?
It's more laid back.
What's the big difference between New Zealand and the life here?
Well, over here, everyone knows everyone, bro. You know, and it's pretty, what do you call it? It's an easy life over here. You know, you can live off the land, you don't really have to work if you don't want to. You can go out and get fish. There's chickens everywhere, man, running around. You've seen them, eh? Chickens, there's wild pigs and everything. New Zealand, you got to work your ass off, and it's getting pretty bad over there now. Like a lot of kids are beginning to like rob shops and start shooting and stuff like that. I prefer it over here. It's a lot better. Like for me, I was pretty bad back in New Zealand. That's one of the reasons why I chose to stay here, because I was getting in too much trouble.
So, what about Jans? Have you been just at Aitutaki or at any other island?
No, probably just over here in Rauru. But yeah, I wouldn't mind going to my mother's island. She stays in Mangaia. That's like, they call that the Rock Island, because it's just like one big rock, man. But I don't know, bro. If I go there, I wouldn't mind, though. Wouldn't mind seeing other places, other Cook Islands, you know, instead of just staying here, because it will get pretty boring after a while, bro.
And so have you any plans for the future?
Bro, you're going to have to come and see me next year and ask me that, bro.
That was the ball.
Bro, we're on, bro.
Yeah. Oh, we're on. We have to play. Okay.
The game was quite rough. Everybody plays barefoot. The older boys just kick, but some girls have an excellent technique. Everybody comes to play or watch. The spectators come and sit on their motorbikes, on the grass, or they bring a plastic chair. They laugh and shout. At the end, it doesn't matter who wins. As John Bishop said, everyone knows everyone. On Aitutaki, almost everybody is related. But now it's time to go to our hotel. On the way back, we can see that there are some little islands inside the crystal blue lagoon. The island of Aitutaki consists of 15 very little and one big island, all inside a huge reef, one of the largest in the world. The first hotel on Aitutaki was the Aitutaki Lagoon Resort, on one of the 15 small islands which are called motus. There is another but little accommodation on one of these motus. All other islands, except the main island of course, are unpopulated. They belong to families and not to the government, as almost all the land of Aitutaki. These days on the main island you can find quite a lot of accommodations with all kind of standards. From the Pacific Resort, a luxury hotel, to a basic bungalow for $10 a night. We arrive at our hotel, which is called Tamanu Beach. But now it's definitely time to lay on the beach, to relax and to enjoy the sunset. If we look out to the ocean, it's as if we have found the end of the world. So, the weekend has started, and also the manager of our resort has got time off on Saturday morning. We meet Michael Henry at the breakfast table. His grandfather, Albert Henry, was the first Prime Minister of the Cook Islands in 1965. There are some stories that he flew in Cook Islanders from New Zealand back to their home so that they vote for him. Eventually, he won the elections. Today, the Cooks is an independent state in free association with New Zealand. But back to Michael Henry. He knows a lot about the island of Aitutaki, about tourism and economy, his philosophy of his hotel.
The idea being to deliver a type of holiday that money can't buy, that only by experiencing the hospitality of the people of Aitutaki can you get this type of holiday. It's not something you can just go and buy off the shelf anywhere in the world.
Most of the tourists are only here for like 1 or 2 days or 3 days. Is that enough to explore the island?
The average length of stay at Tamanu Beach today is just on 4 days. And for most of our guests, it's not enough. If you read our guest book, our visitor's book, the one comment that stands out every time is that they wish they had stayed longer.
Tourism industry is the biggest section where you can get money on this island. Is there any other section you can make money, or just the tourism one?
Today, almost all businesses and employment on the island is either directly in tourism or is in a service industry related to tourism. It used to be that agriculture, in the form of our banana industry, was the main economy on the island, but today it's tourism. Even the agriculture is related to tourism. We have tried small niche markets of exporting in the agriculture market, like nono and coffee and vanilla. But today, tourism is overwhelmingly the main provider of income.
Have you got enough water on the island?
Today, there's enough water on the island. Water is a very finite resource, and the water we're taking out of our underground lenses and our water galleries is something that in the very near future our demand will exceed what is available. So what we need to do, and is happening today, is like we used to do in the past. We used to catch our water from rainfall. We have an adequate rainfall. We just need to ensure that we have an adequate catchment. It was that every home, 20 years ago, every single home had a water tank. Today, that's not the case, but it is returning to the case, and government are providing subsidies to assist that.
Okay, and what about the rubbish? How do you handle the rubbish?
Traditionally, rubbish has been burned or buried in people's private yards. With the modern economy and lots more plastic, aluminium and glass arriving on the island, which are not suitable for burying or burning, we've instituted a new rubbish system where all of our solid waste is now collected. The glass is stored to be crushed and used as fill and concrete mix. The plastics are today not properly looked after, but the intention is to shred them and use them in the fill. Aluminium cans are recycled today and sent back to New Zealand. And steel cans are crushed and buried. So we're starting the process of recycling where we can and then processing rubbish where we can.
Back home, the global warming is a big issue. Is that the same here?
It's only an issue in that the industrialized countries, their effects on the global warming has a direct effect on us. The most noticeable is not sea rise. It's actually the most noticeable effect for us is the severity of storms appears to be increasing.
Let's talk about the future of the Isle of Aitutaki. What future can you see?
The future of Aitutaki I see is a very positive one. We're making a few of the wrong decisions, but we are also making many of the right decisions. One of the advantages Aitutaki has is that we're behind some of our Pacific neighbors. So we've seen the mistakes they've made in Tahiti and Fiji and Hawaii, and we're learning from some of them. Some of them we're still making the same mistakes, but many of them we're learning from. I think with the next generation and with good management, there's a good future for Aitutaki, that people can come and visit us and experience in 20 years' time the same great holiday that they're experiencing today.
If you followed how Rarotonga, the rhythm of the main island and the people, but also the landscape has changed during the last 20 years, you get worried about Aitutaki. The new methods of rubbish recycling are progressive, but it's a fact that even today people just burn their rubbish. On Aitutaki, Monday is Rubbish Burn Day. But we enjoy the weekend and go on another island cruise. With our scooter, we drive around the main island. Compared to other Cook Islands, the roads are very good. There is a concrete street along the sea almost around the whole island. But there are also scary roads through the bush. As we ride along the reef in Amory, one of 8 villages of Aitutaki, some girls are shouting and giggling. We stop and turn around. They are 16 years old and go to college. Together, we sit on the beach and Chantelle Schofield, with support of Carol Leila Hewitt, explains what her day looks like.
We meet up with all our friends before we go to school. Have breakfast, then jump on the bus. Hopefully that we don't bump into our boyfriends, because they would just want us to skip school and go lunch with them and stuff like that.
So you prefer to go to school than meet your boyfriend?
Yeah, I'd prefer to have a better education.
And the boys don't?
Let's just say that they finished school. They are in university now. They think they're too good for school.
And what are you doing over midday? What about lunch when you are at school?
We all meet up again and talk about how school's so boring and stuff like that.
And when does school finish?
Around about 3.
And what are you doing then?
We all hop on our motorbikes or cars and just go for a cruise around the island. Drop each other off.
And in the evenings?
We go training. We paddle. We either go wakeboarding or kite surfing or something like that.
So I'd like to talk about boys and girls. At what age do you get normally here your first boyfriend?
Actually, we're not even allowed to have a boyfriend. It's banned. It's our school rules.
So if you're at school, you're not allowed to have a boyfriend?
No.
But you all have got a boyfriend?
Yes. It's very complicated.
If the school finds out, what happens then?
Oh, well, we're still allowed to be together, but we won't be allowed to see each other. We'll stay away from each other, 3 miles apart during school.
20 meters?
20 meters.
So your boyfriend is not a allowed to come closer than 20 meters?
Oh, it's all right because he's in university.
And if he would be at the same school as you are?
Oh, well, then 20 meters apart.
Yeah, but you can't do that.
Yes. Yes, I can.
We don't care. We just hang around with them.
So you break all the rules?
Oh, wow. Of course. We live by our own rules. But we make sure we still go to school.
So any other stupid rules at school?
You're not allowed to have mobiles.
Yeah, no electronic devices allowed. No junk food allowed. Monday to Thursdays, we are not allowed any junk food.
Okay, and are you allowed to smoke?
No, we never go that far. We've never smoked in our life.
And if you get caught out at the clubs, you get kicked out of school for like 2 weeks.
And then you're allowed to come back.
Yeah.
But that's like a holiday then, so.
Yeah, that's cool though.
So you smoke all the time?
No, I don't smoke. We drink.
But we've never smoked in our life. We never expect to.
I have. Once, when I was drunk.
Yeah, and what about the boys? They smoke often.
Oh, yes. This is sad, but we like to try and change them. We're not that bad.
But I think a lot of girls are smoking too, like if they're 20 or 21.
Oh, that age. Yeah.
So it's changing then?
Yeah, I guess so. Our island's becoming like countries and cities. Because many people from the other islands, they come to this island, they bring smokes and drugs and whatever. And, well, we're losing our culture a bit.
And you don't like that?
Nah.
Are you doing anything against it?
Drugs cost more money now, so people do it in the olden days where you use the banana leaves.
Can you explain that?
Oh, well, instead of using drugs like weed and stuff, they use the banana leaf because the thing that really makes you nuts about the drugs is the chemicals inside it. But if you use banana leaves, it's all different. You'll be all right.
Okay, and so what about the nights here at Saturdays and Sunday, the weekends? What are you doing then?
Sometimes we go out, party and all that stuff.
Where about?
The famous club over here is called Crusher Bar. That's where nearly every teenager goes.
Okay, and what about Sundays? What are you doing then?
Church. We go to church.
And after church?
Well, to us, we respect Sundays, so it's more like a relaxed day for us. Just chill out at home.
And what about your future? What are your plans?
Well, my friends would like to be a model when they grow up. Oh, my sisters, sorry, would like to be models when they grow up. As for myself, just, I don't know, travel the world. Be a, yeah, traveler.
And what kind of work would you like to do?
I don't know. Still trying to figure it out.
No idea.
No idea.
Okay, and have you got any wish or dream for the future?
Yeah, we all hope to be billionaires, so in the future we will be able to look after ourselves and our children if we have any.
So you want to get a family?
Yeah, wouldn't mind.
So you want to get married and build a house here?
Yeah, I guess so.
You'd like to stay the whole life on this island?
Yes.
Isn't it boring?
Oh, well, no, not really. Once you get used to this place, it'll be like your home sweet home. You never want to leave.
The rest of the weekend, we do what there is to do. Sitting on a beach, go paddling inside the reef, snorkeling or try to catch a fish. In the evening, as we ride back to our hotel, we see a sign. Estes Bar and Restaurant. Our dinner location for tonight. As we arrive in the evening, our host, entertainer and new friend presents himself.
Well, I'm Ricky Devon, born in Aitutaki, and I'm 54 years old. And this is absolutely paradise. I have lived overseas in New Zealand, Australia. I traveled Europe, to England, to Spain. And I came back in 1987 and built my business, which is now called Estes Bar and Restaurant. I got to prepare the ingredients of the island for the restaurant. I have to husk the dry coconut, and then I have to grate it. You grate the coconut to get the desiccated coconut out of the dry coconut. There's a meat inside. And then you squeeze the cream. You have to put the desiccated coconut inside the cloth, and then you squeeze it from the cloth, and the cream come out. And that cream becomes your garnish for your fish. That's how you use the coconut. And then we make coconut oil. We make a lot of things out of it. It's good for your skin. Look at me. I look like maybe a 35, 38 or 40-year-old man.
So we talk about food now. You just use ingredients from your garden or from the island, no other things?
I just use what I got. All my chilies grow here, my garlic. I have a plant here that grows wild, and I chop that up on top of my fish or something like that. And believe me, it tastes better than coriander. And it's really absolutely lovely. And we call this the maire, and it's lovely. And then we have our own island basil. It's not the same as Italian basil or any basil in the world. It's absolutely nice flavor to garnish with the food and the fish. And you have also what we call the million-dollar salad. Why it's called a million-dollar salad? It's because you kill the coconut tree by taking the core out and you slice it. It's like the bamboo shoot, the young bamboo shoot, but this is the big time. The bamboo shoot is $2. This is $1 million. Inside, the coconut has just got this beautiful, soft core, and you slice it. And a bit of balsamic vinegar, a bit of olive oil, virgin olive oil, gotta be, and chopped up garlic. And then you mix that up as your sauce on the top of this. And every woman that eats in this falls in love.
That's why you have got so many women.
Yes. Oh, hold on a minute. Hey, darling. Come here. Oh, it's too late. She's gone.
Ricky is an authentic entertainer, but now he should concentrate on his cooking skills. We're the only guests sitting in a house with walls just built with bottles. Dinner is ready. Seafood chowder. And we would like to know what kind of seafruits he serves us.
I hope this is not going to be on national news over here, because I could be in jail because what happened is I go and poach, and there are restrictions on the lagoon where you should fish or where you should take the clams, which I illegally take the clams to make my chowder, seafood chowder. It's my natural way of life here. I lived on that seafood all my life, and I don't have this conservationist do-gooders bastards that come here on the island and say to me, you can't take that, you can't do this, or you're going to take that, do that. They're all doing the job so they get paid by the government for doing nothing. And yet, why shouldn't I take what my parents and I had when I was a child? And I ate that, and I enjoy eating it. But don't tell the authority, because otherwise they might close me down.
Well, anyway, the dinner is absolutely fantastic. It was well worth the long waiting time. After the meal, Ricky tells us that he earned his living as an entertainer in Australia. But now he says,
I don't want to go and entertain other people or play. I only play for myself. I want to see, if you come here, I'll get the guitar. You sit down after meal, I play a song. And I sing for you guys. You know, it's just the way I am. I've done all that. I travel, I entertain people. My dream is to have my home, my own bar, my own stage, right here in paradise.
All night long, come on, come on. I feel so good. Yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, mama, don't you know I feel so good. Woo. She's the girl with the diamond ring. She knows how to shake that thing. Come on. Hey, baby, you know you're gonna do it right. Hey, come on, mama. Well, I feel so good. Well, tell me what I say. Tell me what I say. Tell me what I say now. Tell me what I say, yeah. Tell me what I say. Well, you know you make me feel all right. Oh. One more time, one more time now, and one more time, babe. Tell me one more time. Hey, mama, you know you make me feel all right. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Good. Sunday morning, everybody goes to church. And of course, we are there too. Most of the Aitutakians are Christians. First missioners came in 1823 and brought the Christian belief. But Cook Islanders have also got their own god called Tangaroa, god of the sea. These days, the big discussion on Sundays are Sunday flights. For some weeks now, Air Rarotonga, their domestic airline, flies on Sundays from Rarotonga to Aitutaki. Locals don't like that. Because Sunday is the holy day. No open shops, no work, no flights. The councillor, Ngatawa Puapi, explains.
The first flight that came over on Sunday, all the people on Aitutaki went to the airport and protest.
And the next Sunday, the protest went on. The police had to put up a fence around the airport, but the protesters still go there. So when will this protest stop?
Maybe when we get World War III. Maybe we'll end there.
This sounds interesting. We decide to drive to the airport to get the bottom of it. The last remark is typical for Cook Islanders. They really fight against something, but they don't lose their humor and take it easy. Even one of the biggest opponents of Sunday flights flew on Sunday. So here we are, again at the airport. We enter a little shack. Here works Mi Blancon, the head of the airport. He's got time for some questions.
You don't have any problems with security or terrorism or things like that?
No, nothing like that. It's paradise. There's nothing. It's the security. Our security measures here is mainly for just livestock and other things that wander in onto the runway. We want tourists to come on the island. We don't want to scare them away.
So I just think about the demonstration on Sunday. Can you tell me something on that? What happened?
On Sundays here on the island, the major religion on the island, they worship on Sundays, and it has been an ongoing tradition for us that on the island hardly anything happens on the islands. You know, the shops are closed and people go to church. So. Since the introduction of the Sunday flights in on Sunday, it's just upset some of the local tradition that we've been accustomed. Well, we've been running the flights for four weeks now, for four Sundays. So it's quietened down, but the first couple of Sundays was quite strange. It's very unusual to have people screaming and yelling and running up and down the place. So it was something unusual for us, but we're hoping that as time goes, that it'll settle down to where it'll just become part of the you know, the normal thing that that happens on the island.
This issue shows clearly that also Aitutaki is going with the time flow. Money comes first, religion and tradition depreciate and get lost. We get into a bigger conversation with the head of the airport. He says that the airport was built by the Americans during the Second World War in the 1940s. So when did the first commercial flights start?
The Cook Island Airways, they started in the 1960s. That's when they started to fly commercial flights locally here from Raro. And then we had the Airaro. I think the Airaro just started in the 1970s, late 1970s, 1976 or 75, around there. For Aitutaki itself, I'd be comfortable to say that about 90% of what money that comes onto this island comes from tourism. It's a good thing for me personally. It's just as the development goes, that's the side that sort of scares me. For me personally, I just don't want to lose what this place is. But of course, we've got to balance that with the progress and the development of the island. So, you know, it comes down to us to strike a balance as to how far we want to develop it and not change what we have here too much to why people enjoy to come and visit the island.
The Sunday flights protest shows clearly how small the path between tradition and business is. How the tiny little South Pacific island of Aitutaki stays between yesterday and tomorrow.
The Virgin, the Virgin, the Virgin boy, it's for you. The Virgin, the Virgin, the Virgin boy, it's for you.
One, two, three, four.
Monday morning. Today we'll go and visit the school. But first we should have a little board. With some help of the locals, we husk a coconut, drink the milk and eat the meat. And for those who are still hungry, they just go and pick some star fruits from the tree. There are heaps of it. Okay, we are ready to go and drive up to the Araura College, which is situated on top of a hill. College, primary school and kindergarten are just next door. They look both the same. Flat but long stretched buildings. Between them a big greensward to play and a white building, the auditorium. At the entrance of the school area is the principal's house. He's living right there. But we would like to meet the students. We walk into a classroom and are more than welcome. Three boys, they are about 10-11 years old, sing a song for us.
So that was a German song, you know this?
Yes.
Our teacher.
It's a German.
Miss Maya taught us how to speak in German and
I know. Danke, thank you. Guten Morgen, good morning.
Guten Tag, good evening.
What's another one?
Danke.
Thank you.
Entschuldigung.
Excuse me.
Skill British is about I love you.
And in Maori?
My true love.
Okay, good. You say this to the girls.
We're impressed that the boys can speak some German, and the girls might too. But their mother tongue is Maori. Cook Islanders are Maoris, and on every island there is a special Maori dialect. So different that sometimes they can't understand each other. But most of them learn English at school. And English is, beside Maori, the second official language. The kids seem to behave well. But
I don't like smacking with a stick or get a crying with a teacher.
If you do something you shouldn't do, what happens then?
You're going to get a crown, you're going to clean the garden and cleaning windows and pick the rubbish at the back of the class.
Such things are still practiced on this island, but basically the climate at school and the relationship between students and teachers is very good. Such penalties are accepted from the students. They don't know anything else. Next week is holiday. So any plans?
Play and play ping pong.
And sleep.
And sleep and work. Play. And rake the rubbish under the tree. And play Xbox. And play PlayStation 3.
Games like PlayStation and Xbox found the way to Aitutaki in the last 2 years. We move on to the next classroom.
Can you do a plane?
A plane? No. Right, let's see if I can draw a plane. I'm not quite sure if I can.
I'm a pilot.
You want a pilot in there? Okay, we'll just get the head of the pilot, eh? And the pilot is now putting the wheels there, steering that. That all right?
Look, yeah.
Like, you color the wings.
And a propeller.
And it's got a wheel, so that when it comes down.
Joshua is not the only one who is fascinated of planes. Also, a lot of other children and older students are dreaming about seeing the world. In the classroom, everybody has got a single table. The students can open up the tabletop and put their stuff inside the desk. While Joshua is trying to draw the plane, we have a talk with the teacher.
I'm Poko Tuaiti, and I was born here in Aitutaki, and I left Aitutaki in 1963, went to New Zealand for further education, and I have just come back now and took up a part-time teaching job here. The main aim is to help the children with their reading.
You support these children who are not good at reading, or just to make a further course?
It's for both. It's to support children who are not able to read, as well as support children who are just introduced into English language. So I know now that it's important for the child to retain their native language and then learn the English language because it's universal. It will expand their horizon, you know, their space and their knowledge as well. Yeah, opportunities. So it's very interesting, but the resources are very limited. But the children are very eager to learn here. Yeah. And I'm enjoying the job.
Let's talk about, again, about the language, Maori and English. You're scared that the Maori language will get lost?
For example, my grandchildren, they speak English, more English than Cook Islands. And they have three languages because the father is Samoan. So they only speak English. And for Cook Island Maori, we're just starting to speak Maori to them since we've come to Aitutaki. And I think it's a good move and it helps them with their identity.
What future can you see for the children here?
Well, they will be able to retain their identity through the language and the culture and the way of life their parents are having now. And they will know themselves as true Cook Islanders. And when they emerge into the world, then they sure knows their identity. They get to know themselves, who they are, where they come from. Do you want to talk? What about you, Joshua? Do you like being in the Cook Islands?
No.
No? Where would you like to go, Joshua?
To Rarotonga.
Where else do you want to go? Do you want to go back to your parents, your mommy and daddy?
Yeah.
You want to? When do you want to go?
To the
when
to
you have
McDonald's.
Oh, you miss McDonald's in New Zealand?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe we'll make a McDonald's in the Cook Islands. Would you stay?
Yeah.
Oh, you will? Okay then.
Bye.
We're still on Aitutaki, one of 15 Cook Islands, which are scattered across the Pacific Ocean. This morning we visited the primary school. Now we walk through the greensward to the Araura College. A girl and a boy are sitting under a big tree.
My name's Russell Puna, and I am 16 years old, and I'm Aitutakian, and I live in Aotearoa.
Actually, my name is Marjorie Alon Jupiter-Reo, and I attend Aotearoa College, and I come from the village called Waipai on the island of Aitutaki from Cook Islands, so yeah.
So how do you like your life here?
Well, it's pretty simple. It's good for us because we don't spend too much money on whatever we buy, and it's affordable.
So if you could describe Aitutaki with one sentence, what would it be?
Aitutaki is one of the islands that is peaceable and that everyone wants to stay in.
Okay, so we are at school now. Can you say something about the school? Because it's quite different from back home.
Well, the school here, it's not really strict, because it's just back in the islands. And they just wear normal uniforms. Let's say a shirt and a short. And it's always sunny here. Sometimes we hardly get cold weather, and it's tropical style. What you dream about?
Well, school is kind of strict right now since we have a new principal, but apart from that, our level of standard is going up.
Is there anything you want to change here at the school?
Actually, I like school, but there's still some stuff that needs to be arranged, which is the equipments of schooling, like the kind of books that are required for a subject?
Yes, we need, provided the facilities, because we don't have enough facilities here. Maybe we love sports, but we don't have the facilities for sports. We need weights training and all that. That's all we need. And let's say for writing material and all that. So we just lack in the facilities, but everything else is going good.
So you must know a lot about the rules here at school. Can you describe some or the important rules?
Yep, the main rule now is never have long hair. If you have long hair for boys, it will be shaved to number one or number zero. And coming late is another thing. You have to be punctual. You have to not allowed to swear, not allowed to talk back to your teachers.
So let's talk about your future. What do you expect from your future?
Well, I was expecting to become a flight attendant. So I was thinking I'm gonna go abroad rather than staying here in Aitutaki to find or to gather more information of what I want to be in the near future.
Have you been abroad yet or to another country?
Certainly, yes. I've been to the States. I have been to Australia, New Zealand, Papua New Guinea, or mainly Pacific Islands. And my dream is to go to London.
And why you'd like to go to London?
I like to go to London because we need girls. You know, we don't have much girls in the Cook Islands. We may have some pretty tropical island, beautiful looking girls, but, you know, there's always something for the Palangi girls.
Apart from what type of girls Russell prefers, on the tiny island of Aitutaki, the problem of incest exists. Everybody is related, but today the problem isn't as big as it was. That Aitutaki is heading towards tomorrow, that it opens up and people travel, is the positive side. We go to the teacher's room. Some students are mopping the floor, others are doing the dishes for the teachers. The principal is sitting in his chair, some teachers are drinking coffee.
Hi, I am Moiroa Vasa. I am a teacher who majors in the area of Cook Island Māori. So that's what I do at school.
You're a bit scared that your culture might get lost?
Yes. So I think that is one of the important aspects that we teachers are trying to teach at school, you know, to revive and to keep up with our culture. To maintain the our culture at school, especially in language and dancing and our music.
But don't the students know how to dance and how to speak Māori from back home? Is it really necessary to learn it at school, or do the students know already everything?
I'm pretty sure they are. Over here, I think students are finding it easier to tackle with Maori at school and also at home, because their parents speak Maori to them at home, and which makes it easier for them to, you know, to really understand Maori subjects at school.
Can you describe a bit the atmosphere at school, how it is?
Well, at school, I can see that some students, especially those who are half, you know, half European and half Papa Maori, well, I personally feel that some of these students are neglecting learning our language, basically because they are not really interested, or probably because their parents at home are not encouraging them to know more about Maori, since English language plays a very important role in education. So I suppose that's the reason why their parents would discourage their students, their kids speaking Maori at school. But for those kids who speak Maori, both at home and English, are finding Maori at school very interesting, and that they are doing well towards it.
Then we also would like to know if they organize special or traditional activities. Moeroa Vaza?
We have like activities, like I said, we have a program set for the year. That means in each terms of the school, we either have our Maori oven day for the kids, where they bring their food, local food from home, and then we at school teach our kids how to make an oven, you know, in our Maori oven, how to prepare food in the Maori our Maori oven. And also we have planned that at the end of the year we will be creating Maori sports activities for our students, different Maori activities, sports. And then we do also have a weaving program for the students, which is, so what I'll do is I'll bring some skillful women from the community to come and show to our kids how different weavings are done. Yeah.
That's very interesting. And so can you tell me, have you got a wish for the future?
Okay, yes. I wish that our Maori Cook Islands will be maintained, and that our students will keep up, and that they will keep on speaking in Maori, and as well as carrying out all the different things, our craft work, so as our language and our weaving, that they maintain and that they keep on keeping it on to it, you know.
So after we have talked to the Maori teacher, who cares a lot about the Maori language and the culture, we also would like to interview Corina Naktamariki. She is an English teacher.
Teaching English here in the Cook Islands is a challenging job, because a lot of the kids don't speak English as their first language. So we get children who are writing or reading well below their age levels. So it does get very challenging, and I need a lot of patience with the kids, and usually need to do one-on-one work with them, especially with the very weak ones. Have to actually sit down with individual students and, you know, helping them with their work, and it takes up a lot of time.
And so most of the students, they speak Maori back home, and they have to learn English at school, or is it sometimes also the other way around?
I would say that a lot of the students here speak Cook Island Māori in their homes. I'd say 100% of the time, eh?
So let's talk about the future of the students. What future can you imagine, or what can you see for the future for them?
We have a lot of students who have the potential to do to get into university and, you know, further their studies. In the past, we've had students from the college who have travelled overseas to places like New Zealand, even Fiji, to study at universities there. And then we have those students who leave college, and they go into the workplace, and that's usually in the tourism industry here. So into the hotels, and or some even help with family businesses, like, you know, a lot of families are into their planting, and, you know, they sell crops and vegetables.
Have you got enough teaching aid? I mean, you're not such a rich country.
We try to make do with the resources we have here on the island. Like, we use our local resources, you know. We use coconuts for, I don't know, whatever. But we try to use local resources. And for English, for the English department, we get resources like books. We get them as donations. So, and the Ministry of Education, they try to, you know, they give us funding to get resources. So we do have resources, and when we don't have resources, we try to, you know, make our own.
It's true that Aitutaki is one of the more developed islands of the Cook Islands. But compared to New Zealand and Australia, they are far, far behind. The school is quite strict, but even if teachers sound very serious and organized, a lot of them, for example, have no idea how the internet works. The principal didn't even know what language is spoken in Italy. After a hard but interesting day, we hop on our motorbike, barefoot, with short trousers and just a t-shirt, we drive through coconut palms back to the beach and enjoy the rest of the day.
Yeah.
Yepo, today is Tuesday. We are having breakfast. Coconut, star fruits, bananas and pancakes. All fresh. But what is more, we are looking forward to the island night, which will take place tonight. Today is again blue sky, and what else can we do than dream on the beach and drive around the island? Lots of locals are waving and smiling as we drive slowly along the road. We have the impression that on Aitutaki people are always happy and smiling. Inland we meet an older woman who works in the garden. We stop, say hello, and are suddenly involved in a conversation. So, why are Aitutakians always smiling?
I think our parents must be born with it, and with the generations, it hasn't changed. Everybody just smiled with anybody.
Te Aruru Masters is able to compare generations. She was born on Aitutaki and has 9 children, 1 adopted daughter and already 24 grandchildren. With her 60 years, she's still working. Is Te Aruru Masters satisfied the tourists are coming on her island?
I like to have the tourists on the island. I like to have tourists. And I'm catering for tourists. I have accommodation. Most of the tourists are very good, just a few odd ones. Like the things that I don't like about tourists, it's wearing very few clothes, like the ladies coming like a swimwear around the shops, even trying to go into church, and they are told not to. Otherwise, the tourist is good. And I hope it just stays like this, not more, not less.
Yeah, but I think if it continues like this, more and more tourists will come. So aren't you scared that the culture might get lost?
I hope not. I hope that our culture will never change. I hope that our children and their children will keep with our culture. But I have seen and known a few we have lost.
Can you explain that a bit further?
Like our dancing, we are not staying with our own movements in dancing. We are copying from Tahiti, from Hawaii, from America, New Zealand, like the jazz coming into our own culture of dancing. And like the twists, whatever you call these ones nowadays. And they don't want the lights on when they are dancing. They want the lights almost off. And then you don't know what the young ones are dancing. And there are other things in the culture. And I hope we stay like this. Even the food, mainly the food that our youth keeps on with our own food, the local foods. The children are not eating local foods. All the mothers are relying on export foods, like junk foods in the shop. Before, we don't have that. I've lived on my island 60 years now. I knew the big difference in food-wise.
So is there anything you do against these problems?
Not really. I can't change the time. As we are going into the future. Oh, one thing I hate is this video, the TV screen, but this DVD and all the movies that coming in. And some movies I look, you can't believe it. I just haven't seen it in my days. I think our kids, we go to work, they go to school, come back home, no parents. They can look at anything they want. They have brought from school, and we can't supervise them. Well, that's generation. It's changing.
It's already time to go back and put us in the right mood for the island night. Back at Tamani Beach, we have a drink while enjoying the beautiful view out to the sea, out to nowhere, and nevertheless, we could sit here for hours. And, as every day, the woman behind the bar is singing.
Mana kuna kuwa ngaya na kuiti aune. Me te rio te po mai atai tu mai ne. Me te mui mui am, te arawa ne e.
Bibiana Kamoe tells us what the song is about.
The meaning of the song is about my island and how beautiful the island is, and how lucky we are living on this island.
And we are lucky to get to know one of the dancers of tonight. Bibiana Kamoa will be part of tonight's show group.
First of all, dancing is a talent to me, and it runs in the family as well. It's traditional. And I've started dancing since I was 6 years old till today.
So did the dance style, the style of the dance, change during these years, or is it still the same?
To me, for my own experience, since I first started dancing and today, the modern style, it has changed a lot. With the techniques and costumes today, modern style is different from the olden days. In those days, we never had so many different costumes for those youth. And today we have so many techniques and different costumes to be used in today's dancing. And the singing is just different. And yeah.
So do you like this modern style or do you prefer the old one?
I like the modern style better.
Are there a lot of young boys and girls who know to dance, or is your culture getting lost?
Most of everyone now is able to dance and sing and get to know the things that you need to do for dancing. And our culture is still alive. And so many of our little children is now into dancing and singing.
Can you tell something about the atmosphere in your group? How is it?
Most of everyone in the dancing group is family related and professionals as well. And a couple of the members have been to America doing shows. So I would say everybody's professional and everybody's happy with everyone and get along with everybody.
The special thing of the group is the fire dance, which they are doing right now. The men are called the Warriors. They dance in the sand at the beach under the stars. What they dance right now is a traditional war dance. Every dance tells a story. This dance is called New Zealand's Haka. After that, the women are a welcome alternation. They swing their hips and wear coconut bras and a skirt with just a cloth with beautiful colors and patterns. Men wear nothing else than a cloth between their legs and around their hips. But also lots of locals come and watch. But not to see the dance group. They want to laugh about tourists who have to dance at the end of the show. So the locals have their big party. After the show, we catch up with the team leader.
I think it was a great show tonight. Are you satisfied with yourself?
Yes, satisfied. Everything is good, perfect, and I'm happy.
So what makes your group so special? What do you think?
Special on the girls is... you know, the man's just only a warrior's face that when we do the show. The girls, they make the flower, everything, like the sea, the water. That's the girl's side. That's why the show is.
So I can imagine you have to do a lot of training. Can you tell me how much training you do and how it works?
It's true. Every day we training. Like morning, we run. In the 12, we training again. The same thing, and nighttime, that's the workout on the iron, you know, the weight. That's how we training every day.
So have you got another job, or are you doing just dancing?
Just dancing.
So have you got problems sometimes, like not a good atmosphere, or is anybody angry?
That's a good point. And I'm not going to lie to you, telling you the truth about culture, Kukan culture. My way, when I do my way, is like, I like everyone, like, when they do the show, is everyone be single. But in our team now is, they're all couples. Just only two person, like, single. Just only me, Tia, and Peter. That's the two person in the single one.
So that's your philosophy, and may I know why?
Well, I'm telling you is, you know, maybe boys and girls, you know what we, when you do the show, you know, couples. To me, that's why I stay single. There's no problem. There's no mocking around your back because you're free when you do the show. You can do everything what you, when you do inside the show.
Do you earn enough money with dancing?
Yes, sir.
So can you tell me a bit how much?
Well, week. We pay like when we pay us like 1,000 one night, like every night, and that's the big money on this island.
Tired we go to bed, the sound of the island still in our ear. Wednesday. In the morning we walk along the white sand beach. We catch sight of some little fish jumping inside the reef and we wonder if there are any dangerous fish or animal. We pass some bungalows, a few tourists are sitting on the beach and a short man is wrecking the beach. It's Ron. He works for tourists.
I find working with tourists a great because they're just as human as we are all over here. And they're just as curious about us as we about them. So when they come over here, it's nice to share a culture where they can say, okay, right, you know, this is how we live. This is and share a part of our culture and in exchange for a little bit of theirs.
So is Ron scared that the Cook Islands will lose their culture because of tourists?
Right at the moment, we don't really have too much of a worry on our culture change because people here are largely influenced by our elders, and we follow closely to an identity in the Cook Islands, so that when we've got something that we can clip onto. And although we may go overseas for several years, we always have this trend that we'd like to come back and do something for our islands.
The short, skinny man tells us that he was a pearl diver in Manihiki, another outer island of the Cooks. Hence, he knows a lot about the ocean and the reef. And he can answer the question we had before concerning dangerous animals. Ron reckons that it isn't dangerous at all to dive inside the reef, but you have to know how to behave.
Well, we've got, for the dangerous animals that we've got over here that are in the sea, are probably stonefish. But you basically got to hold a stonefish down and stand on it before you can actually poke your leg, But if you take precautions like wearing shoes, then you don't have to worry, because a stonefish is poisonous, and if you stand on it, it's very, very painful. What happens is it coagulates your blood very, very quickly, and the blood underneath the skin just starts to turn black. But we have a local medicine over here that supposedly cures it instantly. I haven't stood on a stonefish yet, but this magnificent medicine is made up of sunlight soap and coconut oil, and placed in the strategic area, it takes away the pain and cleans out the system.
Okay, so we'll wear shoes next time we swim and walk in and on the reef. Ron looks so happy that we had to ask him if there is anything he does not like.
I'm not satisfied with the way that the mosquitoes bite us. They're a little bit of a nuisance, and if they could have their proboscis, I guess, nipped a little bit so they wouldn't hurt so much, then we would have a terrific place.
So what do you do against the mosquitoes?
Well, besides wearing a thick lot of clothing and a motorbike helmet so they won't get underneath. I mean, that's multi-purpose. You can drive a motorbike and keep the mosquitoes off.
We hop on the motorbike, and by the way, nobody wears a helmet, neither for mosquitoes nor to drive. So we drive carefully along the reef, and the sun is shining. What else? Just next to the road, a woman spreads some clothes across the grass. We are curious, stop and go closer. The clothes look similar to the skirts the woman and man wore at the island night. The woman tells us that she made all by herself. So how does it work?
Well, you have to get a colour. It's like paint from the shop. And then you bring it home and mix it with water. And you get whatever material you need. But mainly it's got to be a white material. And you fold it up with so many kinds of folding. And you dip into the dye with many colours if you can, if you want to. And spread it out on the grass. Put some stone on so the wind won't blow the mix up the colors on the material, and then you put the patterns on. After it's all dried, you just take the patterns off, and it gives you a beautiful we call it sarong, we call it pareo, but European call it sarong or something like that, to wrap yourself around.
So where did you learn how to do this?
I've learned it with the families back here at home, and other people as well.
So nearly everybody knows how to do this?
Yes, mainly everybody knows how to do it.
Elani Matiti is worried about her culture.
I'm a bit afraid of that as well, because I can see that Rarotonga has already changed a lot apart from our island. And yes, I am definitely afraid, because nowadays that our children, mainly our children, are speaking English at all times, just like the children in Rarotonga. And it's kind of, they're losing their language and their ways of life as well.
Rarotonga, the main island of the Cooks. There, millions of dollars have been invested during the last 20 years, and the island changed dramatically. Today, the saying is, Rarotonga is like a suburb of Auckland, New Zealand's biggest city. We hope this kind of tourism will never reach Aitutaki, and this unique and wonderful place and their people will stay at least somehow how it is today. Today is Thursday. We go inland. On top of a hill, we find the JK Cafe. Under a coconut tree, there is a yellow house with a deck. A girl is sitting on one of the four picnic tables. Her name is Tapita Kiria. She is 13 years young.
I work at JK's Cafe and Bar. And that's my dad's name, JK. And he's a chef.
So you work here every evening?
Yes. When I come back from school, I change. And when customers come, I work.
And how are the customers like? More tourists or more locals?
Well, actually, it's both. Yeah.
And do you like your work here?
No, I don't like this work because I don't have time to go with my friends. Everything changed when I worked here. I don't have time for my schoolwork, and so I like watching movies, and movies disturb me a lot.
You're watching what kind of movies?
Like love movies and crying movies and girls' movies.
Beside her work at the restaurant, Tapita goes to school, and she likes to write poems. That's why she goes into the house to get her book. Meanwhile, Mahina, her 17-year-old sister, joins us. She skipped school, works also at the restaurant and as a model. But how does she imagine her future?
Well, my first aim is to get my 21st, and after that, save up my money, build me a house. And after my house, I'm looking forward to get a business.
What kind of business?
Rental and motel. That's it.
So you want to stay on this island?
Yep.
Tapita is back. Now we are curious about her poem.
Tiare Māori, Tiare Māori, taku tiare mania. Tiare kua, kua, kua. E tiare kua te aha pere pere ia e iau. Me ungi au ia kua, mare karawa tōku ngā kau. Ko tanu ia koe e tōku māmā ki mō e tō mātō kāng. Ko apai ia koe e te au māpū ki te ngai tāmatā. Me akatau au ia koe, me te kiona rai koe e te tia tia.
Now we've got an impression how the Māori language sounds. But obviously it's a bit hard for us, so we better continue in English. And Tapita tells about her future.
Well, my plans for the future is I want to become a lawyer when I grow up, and I hope I can make it.
And where you want to train how to work as a lawyer?
Well, I want to train as a lawyer to Fiji.
When you want to go over there, like right now or?
Well, actually, when I leave this house, that's when I want to go.
And when gonna be this?
Until I'm 21. When I'm 21, I'm allowed to drink, smoke, do whatever I want. I can go and stay with some boy, guy, and I can marry anyone.
So is this the law, or is it just your family's rule?
My dad's rules.
And do you like this rule, or?
Actually, I don't like these rules because I can't go out at night and I'm not allowed to go clubbing with my friends and I'm not allowed to have a boyfriend.
The rule for the two girls might be a bit too hard compared to Switzerland. But on Aitutaki, there are not a few girls getting their first child at the age of 15 or 16. Most of the young women give their child to their parents, and it's common that the first child is brought up by grandma or aunties. In fact, a lot of people don't know who their real mother is, or if they know her, they don't know the name and have no contact. So this was an interesting morning. With no goal, we drive a bit around the island. One time around, the whole main island takes around 15 minutes. On halfway, we meet Selina Kamoe at her home. She's a housekeeper in a hotel, has just got a break and is having her meal. Her house, or in fact just some wooden piles and a roof, is situated close to a small forest, with, what else? Coconut trees. Her husband is feeding the pigs. Most of the families have got pigs, and you can see and smell them at many places. Often they are tied on one leg and haven't too much space to move. Selina Kamoe shows us where she cooks. A shack with some chars and a gas cooker. Outside there are two holes in the ground. For us it looks as if it was for compost or for rubbish. But they have another function.
For this big oven here, if it's a big occasion, we use this big oven. Before we do it, we take all the stones out and all this inside here, we call it the puru. It's from the coconut. And we just feed the pigs with the coconut and what is left, the puru. And we use it for down the oven and then burn it. Put all the stones on the top. When it goes down, it's ready. That's for the pork, fish, whatever. We put it down and cover it. And takes for 2 or 3 hours. It's cooked. And then we open. That's for the big occasion. And for the small oven, if it's just for the family, the same as the big one.
Yeah. And you cook only meat or also vegetables?
Yeah, we do cook vegetables like spinach. We put it mixed with the chicken, with the pork, or sometimes with the chops. Put it down the oven. Yeah.
And do you use it often or just?
We use it often. Yeah.
And what's the name again of the oven?
It's the, it's the humu. Humu? That's in our local language, the humu. It's our underground oven.
We catch sight of another bizarre thing. It looks as a file of a workshop. So what do they use it for?
Okay, for this one, for the coconut grater, now it's the easiest way for us, for the people now. And we use this very quickly for our occasions and especially for our home needs. And for this one, we use it for the coconut, cut it and scrape it up there and comes out and use the juice for our coconut cream. Like what you've got tomato sauce, so we've got coconut sauce for that. Yeah. And it's the easiest way for the family.
And for what else do you use the coconut?
We use the coconut for coconut oil for the hair. And we put it on our hair sometimes, like suntan. Yep, we put it on ourselves for tan. And for sometimes we've got no butter. We use the coconut as our butter. We take coconut beside with the papaya. And every fruit, you can use coconut with it.
So you use it almost for everything?
We use coconut for everything, yes.
Okay, can you explain again, if you mold this, what you wrap it into, what did you say before?
Okay, we mold the coconut and then we wrap in a piece of cloth with a little bit of water in a piece of cloth and then squeeze it. Squeeze and the juice comes out and that's our cream or coconut sauce.
Now we should let Selina Kamoe continue her meal. And to protect it from mosquitoes, she lights a coconut. The smoke banishes them. Coconut is used for everything. And, oh yes, do you remember Ricky? The man who cooked us the wonderful seafood chowder with a bit of coconut sauce? For sure, it's well worth to go and visit him again. Find ourselves again at Esti's place. It's around after 3 and Ricky is sitting with his nephew in a corner of his restaurant. 6 empty cans of beer are placed on a small shell next to them. We take a chair and join them. As we remember, Ricky has just returned from Australia to Aitutaki.
You have no idea how wonderful it is to be back in paradise and sitting down and being my own, myself, and away from my wife, which she's now settling in Australia. So I'm just enjoying being back in paradise.
So what attracts you to this island? What's the main reason why you like it that much here?
It's free rent. And I don't pay rates and I don't pay water rates. But then when the water is out, you can't complain. But I still pay my power, but I own everything, my land, my business. I don't work for the bank, so I'm happy here.
So it's just because of the money?
Oh, well, money is not a problem. It's because if you have money, you have a problem. But I have this. And that's the can of beer I just opened. And so it's just a wonderful feeling of being here and being yourself. You're not being controlled by the system.
Ricky knows the difference between life in Australia and life in the Cook Islands. Although he drinks a bit too much, he's a wise man. He decided to come back to live without the luxury of modern world, and he's happy.
The lifestyle is great. You have a business, you could never operate like this where you come from. You know, I could never operate a business like this and have beer for breakfast and have to concentrate on who's going to come tonight. If some people come tonight, okay, we start cooking. We start making nice food. I'm not like anywhere else. I have to open every night, on time. Now, if I'm late, I'm late. If the people have to wait outside till I open up, fine. I say hi. But the thing is, I don't open all the time. I'm open Wednesday to Sunday. Monday and Tuesday is my day off, which is now. Oh, hold on a minute. What is today?
Thursday.
Oh, it's Thursday today. But that's okay. It's a lifestyle you have and no stress.
And that's exactly how life is on this island and how people work. You couldn't describe it better. And if you ask when this and that will take place, the answer is, well, maybe in an hour, Cook Island time. And they laugh. And time is a good catchword. The Second World War was an important turning point in modern history of Aitutaki.
During the Second World War, we had the Americans here. They occupied Aitutaki. They built our airstrip. And the Americans have done a lot for Aitutaki. And then they break our harbor, they open up the harbor so we can get out into the sea, and they've done a lot. And they used to bring their big boats here. I wasn't born then. I was just told about it by my mum. And because my mum was a very attractive young woman somewhere along the line, with little promises of this and that from the Marines, but she had a good time, I'm sure. And they made roads and built water tanks for us the old days. But then our water system, we don't have a proper river because we got no river on the island. Our water comes down the hill and they dig the holes. It's called the gathering gallery. And the water that drips over gets filtered and right down to the bottom, and it fills up the gallery. And they pump it up the hill, and that's where our water supply comes from.
So you are satisfied with what the Americans did here?
They improved the lifestyle here of the people. They built our roads, they built our harbor and stuff like that. When they left, we have a new generation.
But you're not feeling scared that your culture might get lost? Even now, if all the tourism comes and the tourism industry?
Not really, because to see all these different people come on the island, That's better than seeing the same old faces.
Okay, hopefully Ricky doesn't mind that he sees our faces once again. Two local women come and join us, and we sit again in the bar surrounded by the walls with bottles, in his comfortable but old and used chairs. While the fish is sizzling in the pot and the locals are playing the music, we can feel that at least a little bit, we have adopted the attitude of these people, the way of island life, and that the world, this world, turns a bit slower. And with this music, Friday starts. Today, our last day on Aitutaki. Definitely time to do what people do here. Nothing. Sitting on the white beach, we are alone. In front of us, the reef. The sound of the huge waves breaking on the reef. Behind, the far ocean. Time passes. Whoa, it's already 9 o'clock in the evening. Any plans for tonight? Didn't someone mention there was a club named Crusher Bar? Okay, we go and get ready. Suddenly at 11 o'clock it makes rum, rum, rum. One motorbike after the other passes the road behind our place. We follow them. So here we are. Everybody parks his or her motorbike in front of the club. Well, club might be a bit exaggerated. It's just like a big open deck with a bar. At the top it's closed, but on the side it's all open. At the entrance we have to pay $2.
Hey, my name is Junior Enoka. I'm from Arutanga. I'm about 17 years old. I currently go to Arutanga College.
And what are you doing tonight?
Probably drinking, getting wasted for tonight. That's it.
We're having a bit of a nice weather tonight because from New Zealand, Aotearoa, Aitutaki represent. We got the white boy over here. Oh, no, he's not white, he's black. And you know, we like him. What's your name again, cuz? Kim, nice to meet you anyway, bro. Enjoy yourself, get drunk, get wasted, get your dicks up.
Well, I'm out here with my cousin enjoying for tonight, that's right. And it's her last week. So, it's my cousin Margaret. Piranha?
What are you up to?
Oh, drinking. Yeah. Drinking. Drinking and have fun.
People come here at 11 and leave at 12. Then they go somewhere on the island to the after show party. They drink, play the ukulele, sing and dance. We're the only tourists, and this is definitely going to be a long night. Tutua! Wella, wella, wella! It's Saturday morning. All our things are packed. As a goodbye present, we get necklaces made out of flowers and shells. We are driving to the airport, thinking again of all the people we have met.
I love Aitutaki because of its lovely lagoon.
And it's easy life.
Most of the time it's time out.
There's heaps of boys on the side, that's for sure.
I love Aitutaki because it's the most spectacular island that I've ever been to.
I love Aitutaki because of the people are so friendly and nice.
The weather's beautiful.
This island is like peace.
It's always sunny. It's hardly cold over here.
We just love our country.
I love it here.
Back at the airport, the man singing in the open arriving hall is still there. We have to say goodbye. The plane waits on the runway. As we take off, we see the island for the last time, the people and the crystal blue lagoon. But even if we leave this island behind us, and it's getting smaller and smaller, at least a part of it will stay in our heart.
Aitutaki, my island in paradise. Aitutaki, oh, this is my home. Kokoerai, taku e manako ne. No atu te roa, tau a taka ke anga. E ine te ki mine iau, ira venga e ki a piri mai o ki kove o e pene ia te a te ta ira. Maybe someday under the moonlight, oh my lovely, beautiful beach, as the sea gently caress your feet. Welcome to the last heaven, baby. On earth. Oh, Aitutaki, my island in paradise. Aitutaki, and he's my home. Yeah.
Aitutaki, remote islands between yesterday and tomorrow. Meitaki Ma'ata, and thank you very much to Kim Kessler for his report. For more stories and pictures, please go to World Wide Web, aitutaki.ch. Until then, kia ora e kia manuia, long may you live, and good luck.